I don't know if you've looked at the title of the message today or not. But if you have, I'm pretty sure it resonates with you. It says quite simply, things don't always turn out the way we like. Isn't that the truth? Amen. Things do not always turn out the way we like. And so over the next some weeks, I don't even know how many, depends on what the Lord tells me, I guess, we're going to look at Scripture where it didn't turn out there the way they liked either. And so if you've got your Bible, you can get ready in your Bible, turn to John chapter 11. It will be on the big screen, but I always encourage you to have your Bible just to follow along to make sure what I tell you is coming from the Word. But you might be thinking today, why would we do that? Why would we focus, or why would we even maybe care? Let me just give you a couple of examples of what I'm talking about. Who's heard of Jim Elliot and the Aka Indians in South America? Some of you have. Jim Elliot was a missionary who had worked and worked towards being a missionary his whole life. He loved the Lord. He was a solid believer. He was a wrestler in college, too, because I read his book. So him and I had that much in common. But he was preparing his whole life to be a missionary to a group of people in South America that nobody had been to tell the good news. He was preparing his whole life for that. And as he got there and started living in the bush and close, he never got into the tribe, never got into those natives. But as he was getting close, as he was getting really, really close, he was speared to death by the very natives he was going to minister to. Sometimes pastors die unexpectedly. Some of them in this community have died at very young age. So you start to get the flavor? Sometimes things don't work out the way we might have envision them to work out. Sometimes our children grow up, they've been in church their whole life, and they grow up and they say, I don't need this God, I don't need this Jesus no more. Things don't turn out the way we wanted them to. Sometimes our children come home and our daughters may come home and say, you know what, Mom, I'm 16 and I'm expecting. Or our children may come home and, you know what, Mom, Dad, I just got to tell you, I got to come out of the closet. Whatever happens, there's some things that happened in all of our lives probably, and maybe you're going through them right now, they're just not turning out the way we planned. And so, why would we spend time looking at Scripture that reminds us that this is a reality? I want to tell us three points this morning, and I'll try to touch on those in the weeks ahead too. First and foremost, God, I want you to hear me now, and I want you to absorb this. God is bigger than our agenda. Okay, you with me? God's agenda and mine may not always line up. God is bigger than my agenda. Of course I have things planned out. And of course I have expectations. And of course I have desires for this, that, and the other thing to happen. But that may not be within God's agenda. Number two. God loves us too much to leave us where we're at. You've heard me say that over and over, and I think you know what I mean. I've said this over and over because we need to be reminded it is God's love for you. It is God's love for me. It is God's love for people that sometimes circumstances pop up in our life because He loves us too much to leave us in sin. He loves us too much to leave us floundering in lukewarm tendencies. He loves us too much to leave us out there struggling. And so things might crop up in our life that helps redirect. He loves us too much to leave us on the path away from Him. So sometimes things happen because of that. And number three. And this is what we'll see in today's illustration from John chapter 11. God is teaching us, wants to teach us through circumstances. We're going to see circumstances today in John chapter 11. This song, I told the earlier service, this last one we sung, I never heard that before, this morning. I never sung it before, never heard it before. But the words fit perfectly with what I'm talking about today, because God wants us to be totally surrendered to Him. That's what He desires of us. And I know in our macho-ness or whatever it is, feminism or macho-ness or whatever it is, we don't like the word surrender. I know that. But if we're ever going to walk the walk with Jesus, Jesus said, if you're going to be my follower, you've got to deny yourself and take up your cross and follow me. We've got to find ourselves in that point of surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Because if we're not willing to surrender who we are or what we are or what we have or anything else, then we're not surrendered. And so sometimes circumstances help us get completely surrendered and or dependent upon Him in a new way. John chapter 11. If you've got your Bibles, I'm reading from the New King James Version, and I will not be reading all of them because time will not permit to read the whole chapter or even the whole story. I think most of you know the story. So let me paraphrase it and summarize it for us. John 11, verse 1. Now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped His feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore the sisters sent to Him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. Mary and Martha sent to Jesus. He wasn't in Bethany. He wasn't in Jerusalem. They sent away to Jesus and said, he who you love, their brother, is sick. Now, why would they do that? Because they had expectations that He would respond. Don't we do the same thing? Don't we call upon the Lord when someone is sick? We have an expectation. We do the same thing. And so, their agenda was, Lord, we're letting you know here, our brother whom you love is sick. And they had an expectation that He would respond. When Jesus heard this, Bible says, He said to His disciples, He's not in their midst, He's away with His disciples. He said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now let me ask you to think for a moment, friends. How many of us look at sickness as a way to give God glory? Is that natural for us? That's not natural for us. And yet Jesus said in this case, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Have you ever thought through your sickness, your loved one's sickness, or the sickness of somebody around you? Have you ever thought that maybe it's for the glory of God? You say, Jim, that's ludicrous. Remember, brothers and sisters, God's agenda is not our agenda. God's agenda is different than ours. And when you get through the whole story, you'll know exactly what He means here. But we must ponder sometimes outside the box. And we must recognize that He's just not some cosmic genie we call upon and want this, that, and the other thing, and poof, and here it is. He has His agenda for humanity as well. And so, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, verse 5 says, so when He heard that he was sick, He stayed two more days in the place where He was. When I read that over several times this week, I was thinking that's a funny way of showing how much you love someone. You see what he's done? See what happens here? He was alerted to the fact that Lazarus is sick, and he stays there for two more days. The Bible just got done saying he loved them, and yet he delayed in coming to them. Sometimes the answers to your prayers are delayed, aren't they? Sometimes you wonder if they're coming at all. And here we see again that Jesus loved them. He loves you. He loves people all around us. And sometimes we don't get immediately what we ask for. He delayed. Why? Remember what He said earlier. To bring Him glory. to bring glory to the Son, to the Father and to the Son. And so the Bible says Jesus loved them. When he heard that he was sick, he stayed two more days in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to his disciples, "Let us go to Judea again." You see, friends, these sisters and their brother, they'd seen the miracles of Jesus. They know good and well, they knew good and well who he was. They knew him personally. They had experienced the joy of seeing the lame walk and the blind see and demons cast out and other miracles. They had seen this and believed that Jesus loved them and that he would come straight away to heal their brother. That was their agenda. That's typically how our agenda would unfold. Lord, I'm sick. Lord, my loved one is sick. Lord, this, Lord, that. Will you answer my prayer? That's typically how our agenda unfolds. That was their agenda. Call upon the Lord, have him come, have him lay hand on Lazarus, poof, he's well. That was their agenda. But you see, sometimes, friends, our agenda and God's, it's not on the same page. First and foremost, he doesn't need to ask my permission to do his will. He doesn't need to ask your permission to do his will. And sometimes we think that we are the one calling the shots and our agendas just don't line up. Verse 14 said, "Then Jesus said to them plainly," this is still with the disciples, "Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him." 17, "So when Jesus came, he found that he had already," that's Lazarus, "been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. And Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary was sitting in the house." Verse 21, "Now Martha said to Jesus, 'Lord, if you would have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. But even now, I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you.'" You see, Martha knew Jesus. She knew about Jesus. She'd seen the work of Jesus. She knew in her heart what he was capable of, and so do we. We know what he's capable of, so we call upon him for instant healing, or we call upon him for gratification, or we call upon him for this, that, or the other thing. We know what he's capable of. She knew what he was capable of. She had seen it, and she calls upon him to help restore this situation. But brothers and sisters, may I say it just once more, sometimes his agenda is not the same as ours. Martha knew him as Lord. Martha knew him as the Messiah. But may I share with you a news flash, friends, if you're not aware. Sometimes things happen to Christian families too that we don't necessarily like. We don't accept necessarily. We wouldn't have picked it. But sometimes things happen to Christian families too. Sometimes things that we don't like and did not plan for happen to Christ followers too. Sometimes they do. The question for us, friends, is will we trust him when they do? Will we continue to trust him when things are not going according to the script? Will we trust him when our brother has just died? Will we trust him when our spouse has just walked away with somebody else's? Will we trust him when our children come home and say, "Guess what, Mom and Dad, let you in on something"? Will we trust him? You say, "Jim, but that wasn't the way it's supposed to work out. I'm a follower of the Lord, and I believe in him, and I trust him." But our agenda, brothers and sisters, isn't his agenda. Is he willing that any should perish? No, he's not. We've been over that for a couple of months. He's not willing that any should go to hell. We've established that. But his agenda is not our agenda. And so sometimes things happen that we wouldn't have wrote it that way. Then he comes to this teaching moment with Martha. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. In verse 23. And Martha said, I know that. I know that he will rise again in the resurrection the last day. And here's where he takes that teaching moment to teach Martha and the people of Bethany and Jerusalem and the mourners that were there and the disciples and Mary. He takes this teachable moment and he builds upon it. He said to her, Martha, 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 I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. And he says to her, the question we must ask ourselves when the way gets tough. Do you believe it, Martha? Do you believe this? And he asks us the same thing when the way gets tough. When the road gets weary. Do you believe it, Jim? Church of God, people. Do you believe it? When Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He took this teaching moment to help Martha grow in her faith, to trust him completely, to rest in him securely. And sometimes, I suppose, in our struggles and in our trials, we have asked ourselves, why do I believe it? She said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world. We don't have time to look through the rest of this chapter, but later on in this chapter, we see the glory of God spelled out. We see Jesus go to the tomb. We see, well, first of all, we see him ask, where have you laid him? We see him go to the tomb. We see him call out, take away the stone. To the objections of the sisters who said, Lord, he's been in there for 4 days. We see him pray to his Father, and we see him raise his voice and say, Lazarus, come forth. We see the hand of God. We see the miracle of physical bodily resurrection to the glory and the power of the living God. Now, I know that when we look at this story, it seems like this glory was brought to God the Father and God the Son at the expense of Mary and Martha. That's how it looks, doesn't it? And sometimes we're probably wondering in our situations, how much at my expense, Lord, or can I how much more can I do or endure to bring you glory? Now, I'm not suggesting that God is the author of everything tragic. I'm not suggesting that at all. But I am saying he will use moments of difficulty to bring himself glory. He will use moments of difficulty, like I said in point number 2, to bring us back to him. Maybe we've wandered far away. Maybe we've never even known him. And he may use moments of difficulty to get our attention so we cry out to him for salvation and comfort and strength and whatever else we need that day. He will use these moments to draw us to himself. And it's at these moments, friends, that we're going through, like Martha and Mary were going through that day, these moments, we must remember that God is in control. God is the one that writes the script. God is the one that sees what we do not see. God is the one that has a will that's going to be played out. It's what we pray for in the Lord's Prayer. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. No place there did Jesus mention to say, go ahead and say, my will be done today on earth as it is in heaven. It's thy will we're praying. It's thy will we should mean. And sometimes his agenda is different than ours. And I want us to remember these things today, friends, if we'd remember nothing else. He is in control and we can trust him. We can trust him. Now I'm going to close with this point. We're going to look at this topic more than just today, but I'm going to mention this point, and we're going to have a sermon on it in the future. Jesus said in Matthew 7, Okay, remember the, let me back up a second again. Remember the title. Things don't always happen the way we planned. Okay, you got the title? Jesus points out in Matthew 7, there's going to come a time when everybody is going to stand at the entrance of eternity. And things are not going to turn out the way we planned. You still hearing me? Jesus points out, and I'm going to speak to this more in time. We are going to be at the entrance of eternity, every single one of us. And in our life here, well, I'm a pretty good person, Jim. I went to church a little bit. I did this, I did that. I wasn't like that neighbor. I wasn't like that neighbor. I was a lot better than Charlie Manson. We compare ourselves with this, that, and the other thing, and we rationalize we've got it all together, and we get to the point of eternity, and we hear the words, I don't know you. All our lives, we've gone through life, and we've been a pretty good neighbor, we've been a pretty good person, and we've got this plan, we've got this agenda. When I close my eyes in death, I'm gonna be headed on to glory. And yet we never got to know Him. We never surrendered to Him. We never trusted Him as Lord. And if that's the case, our plans are going to be foiled in the entrance into eternity. Because as we see in Jesus' words in Matthew 7, and we'll see them in a week or two, I don't know you. Our plans were, I'm good to go. After all, I was baptized and I was pretty good to my neighbor. What else is there? I'm good to go. It goes back to where we started a couple of months ago when Jesus told the religious guy, unless you have been born again, you will never see the kingdom of heaven. That's what our plans must be, brothers and sisters. To be born in our spirit. To be surrendered to the lordship of Jesus Christ. So when we do close our eyes in death, we open them to see Jesus and hear the words, well done. Planning to get to heaven on my own strength isn't going to get it done. Planning to get to heaven on being good isn't going to get it done. Planning to get to heaven because I went to church a time or two isn't going to get it done either. We must be born again in our spirit, Jesus said. And if we haven't been, then we're going to be surprised on that day too. Things aren't going to work out the way we planned that day either. We'll take a look at that in the very near future. I want you to think about this morning. In your life, how many times did you make plans and they were rearranged by God? Have you trusted Him? When He rearranges your plans, will you trust Him if He rearranges them next time? How many times did we have a plan all laid out, but they didn't line up with God's and He shuffled the plans a little bit? Will you trust Him? And the other thing I want you to think about while we're singing this last song, friends, is planning for eternity. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You don't come to the Father except through me. And if we haven't surrendered our hearts and lives to Jesus Christ, all the religion in the world is never going to save us. Our plans are going to get changed on that day too. And if you haven't been born again in your spirit and surrendered completely to the lordship of Jesus Christ, I want to encourage you to come pray with Pastor Les or Pastor Isaac today, because today is a day of salvation, the Bible says.